On this episode, we'll discuss who on this terrorist-infested earth we are and what it means to be edgy, clean. Welcome to the Monster Ivy League. Everyone, thank you for joining us here on the Monster Ivy League podcast, where we'll discuss monster-sized stories with faith-based truths. I'm Sarah Jo Clough, aka Jo Cassidy, and I'm here with my two lovely co-hosts.
I'm Allison Wells.
And I'm Christiana Sperlia.
Okay, if you guys are wondering why I said terrorist infested earth, it's just from my book Harper Unhinged, a little insight to Harper's character. She deals with terrorist attacks, and so she uses that phrase often. Speaking of little insights, so we're going to kick off our shows with a little segment called Monster Ivy Morsels, just so you can get a taste of our personalities and who we are. And the host gets to come up with a question. And my question that I'm going to throw out for my co-hosts and for anyone who's listening and wants to respond, you can comment anywhere on social media to let us know. So if the zombie apocalypse was coming, who are the three people that you'd want on your team to get through it? And it can be real or fictional. And for me, I first start with my husband, Chad, mostly because he is the only person on this earth who can calm me down when I'm freaked out. And I can guarantee you I will be freaking out if there are zombies around me because I don't like zombies. They totally creep me out. And he knows guns and stuff, so that's good. I'd actually pick Harper for my book because she's feisty and very clever. And I think she would be able to get us out of really crap situations. And then also Dwayne The Rock Johnson, just because he's big and bulky, and he would also provide comic relief. And I think the back and forth between him and Harper would be pretty fun. What about you, Allison?
Okay, so I know nothing about zombies. I don't watch zombie shows. I was like, I looked at this earlier and asked my husband, I was like, I haven't got a clue. I think I would just become a zombie. I don't know, because I don't know. I think I would just give up and be like, I'm dead now. That's it. That's the end of me.
Terrible idea.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that makes me a sellout. I don't know, but
I'm pretty sure. You wouldn't be looking in fear. You'd just be like, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I could pick people that I maybe want to die with.
That's great. But
that's fine.
But I don't think I know who I would want on my team to fight. No one would want me on their team.
And no one would want
me. Yeah, so I don't know.
Okay, so you'll become a zombie. That's fine.
Yeah, Dwayne Johnson sounds good. I'll take him. Can I get Regé Jean Page too?
Ooh, yeah.
I think I just picked some cool people to hang out with.
Yeah, because I think that you need cool people to get you through it.
So, yeah. All right, Christiana, how about you?
I have probably given this way too much thought as our resident fantasy author. So, you know, I was like, when Joe or Sarah asked the question, I was like, okay, so do the people get to keep their weapons? Because if so, I would totally take the Doctor and his TARDIS, and probably with 12 and his companion Clara, because they're my favorites. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, well, what if I actually got a zombie on my team? So then I would pick Varian Scapegrace from Skullduggery Pleasant. But if I actually had to choose who I would personally pick, I would go with someone because, like you, Sarah, I would be freaking out. So I'd want someone with a really good attitude towards the whole thing. So I would go with Rose and Marek from my books because, first off, they have great experience fighting undead creatures and they're very, very good at it. Second off, they have a hilarious sense of humor that would keep me kind of calm. So that's the reason I picked those two. And then I would also go in that same line of thinking. I'd someone who's compassionate, really strong, and kick butt. So I would go with Trouble from the TV series Grimm, because she's amazing. So those would be my top three people.
Yeah, I love Trouble. Cool. Oh, yeah, Trouble's amazing. I love it. Brilliant. All right. So before we get started into the main discussion, I kind of want to dive or before we talk about why we're doing this podcast, I just want you guys to get to know us for a second and who we are. I'll start with me. I'm Sarah Jo Clough, aka Jo Cassidy, which I don't know. I'm trying to combine the two names, not like on books, but just out in social media. So Sarah Jo Cassidy Clough, we'll just go with that from here on out. So I write YA rom-coms under Sarah Jo Clough and then YA thrillers under Jo Cassidy. And I basically created the two different names so I could have two different brands. Basically with Sarah, you're going to get just fluffy, fun rom-coms, just that will make you happy, make you smile. And then with Jo Cassidy, you'll be getting edge of your seat thrillers, not know what's going to happen next, nail biting, that type of thing. So just two different very routes, because that's basically my personality. I have a split personality. So I was going to bring up how I found Monster Ivy, which is kind of random. So I had an ex coworker of mine just messaged me on Facebook and said, hey, this girl I grew up with is starting her own publishing company, which is Mary Gray. And she was like, just passing along this information in case you're interested, because I know you're an author. And I was like, oh, okay. So I looked it up and I went through their whole page. And I remember I read back to what I wrote to my friend or my coworker and was like, I don't know if I'm exactly what they're looking for, but it doesn't hurt to try. That's what I said. It doesn't hurt to try. So I tried. And then the next thing I know, I was sending off Good Girl, Stay Quiet. And I was getting a phone call from Mary and I talked to her on the phone. And the second I hung up, I looked over at my husband and was like, I found my people. I finally found my people. And I knew exactly that's where I needed to be. And so thank you to my ex coworker for randomly reaching out to me on Facebook, because it all worked out. I now have 6 books published with Monster Ivy. So my latest book to come out was Harper Unhinged, which is the sequel to Harper. So Harper is basically a teenager who goes to school during the day and at night she works for a company, Dogwood Protection Services, and they try to stop terrorist attacks before they happen. So she's my little feisty kick butt heroine that I absolutely love. But in this second one, she finds herself teaming up with her number one enemy to stop a catastrophic terrorist attack, all while mourning the loss of the person she loves most in this world. So it's fast-paced, it's adventurous, with some snark sprinkled or maybe doused. I don't know. There's a lot of snark in there. So that's who I am, and that's my story. Allison?
Oh, well, I write adult historical and contemporary women's fiction. I used to work for a newspaper and I wrote a lot of bad news. I would chase ambulances. I was sent once to like a shootout, holdout, what's it called? Standoff at a seedy motel. And I was 24 and I was like, I don't want to die. And I kind of decided in the midst of that I wanted to write something good and uplifting and encouraging. So that's when I really started writing. I actually wrote my first novel when I was 12. It was a murder mystery. I strayed from that idea that I'm not a thriller mystery type of writer. So I just started writing and writing and writing and queried so many different places. I cannot tell you how many rejections I got, especially with my novel Belle of the Night, because it's a tough topic. I had all the Christian publishers and agents say, it's way too out there for us. And all of the secular publishers and agents said, get rid of the God factor, get rid of the faith in it. And, you know, then we'll talk. And that just wasn't how I was willing to do it. So, but I write things that are tough. I tend to call my style of writing gritty Christian, because I try to tackle those topics that are really hard and let readers know that life is not a Hallmark movie. I'm not a Hallmark movie type of person, because life gets hard no matter who you are and what you do. And that's kind of what I want to convey and always have like light at the end of the tunnel in all of my books. What else was it? How you found Monster Ivy? That was totally random. I said, I was trying to find a publisher that would help me get out the idea of gritty Christian. And another word for gritty would be edgy. And so I typed in, edgy publishers, edgy Christian publishers, and they came up in a Google search. And I was like, why not? Let's go for it. sent off a query, and next thing I know, I'm on the phone with Mary and, you know, talking to Cammie, and everything was set up, and they have published two of the four books that I have out. They've published Bell of the Night and Living Water. And Living Water, segue, is my latest release. It just came out last month in May. And it is about a woman named Roxy who gets married five times. She goes through five different husbands who range from puppy love to the real thing, based on the woman at the well from the New Testament. So that was my latest book that just came out, and I'm really excited about it. And now on to Christiana.
Another segue. Let's see. The first question is what I write, right? Yeah. Okay. So I write upper middle grade fantasy that is very funny. Actually, my tagline is quirky, spooky, hope-filled fantasy. So that's what I write. Yeah, it definitely has a lot of humor, definitely has a lot of spooks, and is definitely quirky. So that's kind of the overview of what I do. But how I found Monster Ivy was a very long and interesting story. So I think I'll do the majority of my time on that. So basically, I had been in a magazine with Mary. Mary had written for a mutual, well, friend of hers, an acquaintance of my Vanessa Eccles. She had a magazine called The Faithful Creative, and we both ended up submitting to that. So I kind of made friends with a lot of the people who had submitted to being part of the, or who are part of the magazine. And that's how I met Mary. And then a little while after that, she started a publishing house called Monster Ivy. And I was like, wow, that is really cool. Edgy, clean fiction. That's cool stuff. But they were just doing YA at the time. So I was just, you know, YA and an adult. So I was like, middle grade, that's not going to happen anytime soon. So this was about 3 years after that. They just acquired, so I'd been keeping up with them because obviously I was really interested in the message of their publishing house, and I really wanted to see them succeed. So I just kept, you know, kept tabs on them. And they had just acquired Kelly Martin's What Rachel Did. And I had an agent at the time, and she had been watching Monster Ivy as well. And so I see that night, I see that they acquired their first middle grade novel. And I'm like, I just don't know if I want to go with a small publisher, because I was still having kind of dreams of the big five. And, you know, I was on query to them and I was getting a lot of rejections, but I was just like, I don't know. I don't know which route I want to take. So I was actually on vacation when I saw that they had acquired that. And the next morning I was sitting outside doing my devotions and I was praying, and I was like, God, I really feel like you're telling me to go with Monster Ivy. And I'm not sure if I'm ready to go with a small publisher, but, you know, I just had this big wrestling back and forth with him. And finally I finished my devotions. I go inside and I open my email and I have a letter from my agent saying, hey, did you see Monster Ivy just acquired their first middle grade novel? Do you want to submit to them? And I was like, okay, God, I hear you. I'm going to do it. So I ended up submitting to them, and they came back with some revision ideas, and I was really impressed with their revision ideas. So I took about 2 months, I think, to implement all the changes, and I sent it back to Mary, but it ended up being Cammie who got back in touch with me. So she's my main editor on the Stormwatch Diaries, which is what my series is called. And I just fell in love with the company, with Cammie's edits, and just her passion for my story. And that's just kind of how that all came to be. So it was like something that happened over about 3 years, you know, from first hearing about Monster Ivy to finally signing with them. So that's how I found out about Monster Ivy. Oh, my next, sorry. Cool. I'm, you know, getting ahead of myself.
You're fine. I love the story, by the way.
Sorry. My next book that's coming out is actually the sequel to Legend of the Storm Sneezer. It's called Legend of the Rainbow Eater. And it's as zany as the first book. There are magical automaton teddy bears. There are ice cream parlors that service the living as well as the dead. And there's just all sorts of crazy stuff that's going on. So I'm really excited about that. It's coming out August 3rd.
That sounds freaking awesome. I love the first one. So I'm excited for number two.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that I've loved about Monster Ivy is getting to know the other authors, and they're just so talented. Like, I just love all the books I read by Monster Ivy.
There's never a bad one.
Yeah. I love it. Love the covers, love the people. It's been great. They have our own little family and been fun. Okay. So now on to our main segment. Basically, we're just going to touch on the Monster Ivy's brand, which is edgy, clean. So that basically is we're tackling monster-sized issues like loss and abuse and neglect, racism, losing faith. I don't know. Those are just a couple I thought of off the top of my head, all while trying to offer hope and light. What are some other topics you guys know of, ones that we've touched on?
I think you covered a lot of them.
That's
a lot of them. I think there's a lot in there with social issues that we are facing today, and that I know I write adult, but there, you know, with the YA and the middle grade, things like that, that kind of touch on those things that help that youth of today to kind of experience those things through fiction. And I think that's really important for them to be able to see it, especially those kids who are good readers, you know, and see what it is that, what is that we write and be able to relate that back to real world issues.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is we deal with so much crap basically in the world and everything going on, and no one's life is perfect, and it's not all rainbows and butterflies and puppies, you know, bad things happen. But if we avoid the topic, you'll have a hard time getting through it. And so that's why I like Monster Ivy is, you know, we're going to tackle these topics. We're going to do it with taste, and we're going to get down to it, but we're going to offer hope and we're going to offer light, you know, because, you know, we have our Father in heaven. We have an end goal. And so we can get there. We just need to stay on the right path and keep going, even through these really hard times. Another thing I wanted to bring up was I had seen just online some people saying they hate the word clean because it implies that their books or other books are dirty. And I just want to say that's totally not true. I think Monster Ivy, you know, we just have lines that we don't want to cross. And we want our readers to know what they're going to get from us. Like, just so you know, you're going to pick up our books. We're going to tackle some tough subjects, but you're not going to get any explicit language or, you know, hardcore sex or gore or anything like that. You know, anything that would make you blush in front of your grandparents. Okay. Basically, right. we're not going to touch on it. But it doesn't mean books with those things are bad. We need all different types of books in the world, and we're just offering one niche in the market. And that's what ours is. I don't know. Do either of you have something to add to that?
I mean, you covered it. I think you covered it really, really well. I think it's important to differentiate between, you know, clean and dirty. And yeah. I think that having something like clean is just, it's kind of a code word for helping people, you know what they're getting into when they're starting to read a book, right. And to know, you know, kind of upfront, like there's an imprint of, I think it's HarperCollins, but I think Zondervan might be attached to it as well, called Blink YA. Have you ever heard of that? And their whole thing that kind of reminds me of Monster Ivy sometimes is they wanted an imprint that parents, when they picked up a book from this imprint, would know that there's not going to be swearing, right. There's not going to be graphic sex, there's not going to be all of these things, and they can feel really good about picking up these books for their kids and giving it to them, and just with a clear conscience. And I think that's what Monster Ivy is doing as well, is just giving parents and even just sensitive readers the ability to say, hey, I don't have to worry about picking up this book. I don't have to be enjoying an amazing story and then have one of those scenes come up and say, oh man, I was loving this book, but now I just feel kind of, you know?
Yep. That's one I think with my books, especially for adult readers, dealing with things like prostitution, you know, is in the whole main topic of one of my books, but you don't ever see anything gratuitous or graphic. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that crosses that line, especially in Living Water, there's a storyline of abuse. Yeah. And that's something that readers have been through. They've lived through abusive situations or deaths of loved ones and things like that. And that's something that I don't think we need to put like right up in their face.
Right. Yeah.
It's okay to touch on it, to say that this happens, but it's another thing, I think, to be overly graphic with the descriptions of it. Yeah. And I think that Monster Ivy really does a good job of keeping it, I don't want to say light because they're very heavy topics, but keeping it, you know, behind closed doors a little more.
Yeah. And I think there's Sarah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying that Allison did a great job tackling that abuse in Living Water. And, you know, you get it, you understand it without having to actually hear and see everything, you know, but you know exactly what she's going through, you know exactly what's happening, and you still feel for her.
Right, right. I think there's a hope factor too. It's like, you know, you're touching on subjects because again, Monster Ivy isn't avoiding tough subjects. They're tackling tough subjects, but it's the way in which it's done. There's a hopefulness and a light at the end of the tunnel. It's like, it's definitely done in such a way. Like I do a lot of ghosts and sort of things like that in my series, which I love. But I remember when I was first starting out, I was like, you know, is it okay to be doing this? But I think it's the way in which you're doing it. Are you glorifying something that's wrong, or are you showing there's wrongness in the world and showing that there is a path to go through it?
Right.
Oh, I love that.
Perfect. Perfectly worded.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, that's why. And I think with our books too, like, yeah, there's some things we don't talk about, and it's not like we're saying, oh, that doesn't exist.
Right.
We know this doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. We know, you know, teenagers, they don't drink. Like, we're not naive to it, you know, but it doesn't mean our books just aren't going to, and they're not going to glorify it, or they're right. not going to be front and center. And
exactly. That's fine. Exactly.
That's basically what we wanted to cover today. Just to kind of get us know, we're just going to continue on. We're going to have monthly releases for our podcast. We're going to have some other Monster Ivy authors on with us to discuss their upcoming books. And we're also going to be doing little weekly, you know, short segments from one of us. You'll get us a little insight, whether it's from stuff about being an author, our writing advice, or spiritual thought or something, just a little tidbit to get you through every week and kind of make that week better and give you hope to get through it. I want to leave with a closing quote. This is by Neil L. Anderson. He's a member of the LDS Church, but he had just recently said this in a conference they had. And he said, "We care more about being his followers than being liked by our own followers." And I just thought that was very hit the nail on the head right now with everything going on. I think we kind of get wrapped up in trying to be popular or get all people to like us and drive up that count. But in the end, none of that matters. You know, the Lord is what matters. And he's the one person that we should care most what he thinks. And if we're following him, that light will shine through us and other people will see it. And you'll be attracting the right people that you want to attract, I guess. I don't know. Thank you guys for joining us on our first episode. Hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook at Monster Ivy League. Twitter, it's Monster Ivy Pod, because apparently Monster Ivy League is too long for Twitter.
Oh, how could they?
Whatever. And then you can check out our website at www.monsterivyleague.com. for episodes and everything for all of us authors. You can get our links there too. And just leave you with my little word of advice to remember, it never hurts to try. So try. All right. Thanks for joining us. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye.